Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Whether you're tuning in through Conversations Radio Network, we welcome you. Those joining us on the radio dial in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM, we welcome you to our program, as well as those tuning in on the East Coast. We're glad you all could join us as well. I'm excited to welcome to our program today award-winning author John Stith. We're going to talk to him not only about his journey as an author, but also what it's been like for him to share his love of science fiction with the world and the way he's been able to see the way that his readers have really gravitated towards his work. Now, if you're just now hearing about John, we'll tell you a little bit later you can stay connected with him and keep up with what's coming up for him. But John, hello to you and welcome to the program.
Thanks very much. Hello.
Hey, John. I was really looking forward to this. I have been an avid reader all of my life, and I've always loved all genres. I could basically read anything. But I think what is so interesting about, especially people like yourself that write science fiction or are able to take us to another place through their work, is that it really does kind of offer us an escape that a lot of us yearn for when it comes to the craziness that's sometimes in the world. What has it been like for you to be that for people, to be that escape that they turn to when they're looking for a good read?
Really rewarding and fun, basically. You know, I started out as an avid reader also. That love of reading came from my parents, I suppose. They exposed me to Robert Heinlein when I was in grade school. I remember being homesick one day and getting a copy of Citizen of the Galaxy by Robert Heinlein. And it was just wonderful. And once in a while, you know, I will get feedback from a reader who really enjoyed one of my works, and it's a stunning feeling, a really gratifying feeling.
Yeah, I can imagine so. And this year in particular has been interesting. I noticed when I was prepping for your segment with us today, John, is that you have been able to not only, of course, to engage with your readers, but there is such an excitement for you, and especially today, I think that people, as I said earlier, having that yearning for something different, they've been able to be reintroduced to your work. What has that been like for you to be able to use new mediums like you know, social media, for instance, to be able to share your work with others and to introduce yourself to new readers?
Social media has been great in a lot of ways. As one left turn example, the street where I grew up, mostly in Alamogordo, New Mexico, is just one block, and from that one block, I probably have 6 or 7 Facebook friends nowadays. It's just amazing how far it's penetrated. So, you know, I'm on Facebook and Twitter, and I have a website, and that makes it easy to tell people what's coming up and get reactions to books and trade comments with friends. It's great.
Right, exactly. I think that has to be, again, one of the fun things for both of you, for yourself and also the readers. So take us back a little bit, John, for you, as you mentioned, you know, you have always had a love for books. When did you know that you wanted to be able to tell your own stories and share them?
Later than a lot of people. I didn't realize I wanted to be a writer until I was partway through college. I was getting a degree in physics and kind of in a different direction than writing. And even then, I didn't do a lot about it. You know, for some reason, when I would listen to music or listen to a sermon in church, those two times, or when putting down a book, just, you know, finishing a book that gave me an adrenaline rush with the ending, those times were the key times I really felt like, hey, it would be wonderful to do this for someone else. But I spent almost 10 years thinking about being a writer, waiting for those long blocks of time when I could suddenly sit down and get away from everything else and do what I wanted to do. But it wasn't until, 1979 when I decided if I was going to do this, I was going to make it a habit and do it 15 minutes every day. And that habit was the key for me. You know, once I'd spent 15 minutes, I wanted to spend more. And so I started spending, you know, before work and during my lunch hours as regularly.
Yeah. And now, of course, here we are. I mean, you know, one of the things that you have been able to do, and I think this is important for our audience, regardless of what their interest might be. I mean, I think, you know, when you have a gift, I mean, that gift is yours. It really is, I think, you know, yours to be able to use however, you know, you want to use it. Could you have imagined, though, in your career, John, that you would be able to have the recognition that you've been able to garner? And even, you know, as I've heard you talk about even this year, even though you took that break, that people still enjoy being able to talk and read about John Stith?
Well, let me talk about that break for a minute. You know, I know there are people who can write as they take a hike. You know, a good friend of mine does lots of books that way. I'm not that way. I got into a period after having 8 novels out where for a while my agent wasn't liking anything I did, and so that slowed me down. And then, you know, I kind of got done with that period. And first my dad died, and then we moved my mom to live with us for her last year and a half. And that was, as she declined, that was not something I was able to just keep writing through, although a lot of people have the ability to do that and not, less than a year after my mom died, or about a year after my mom died, my wife contracted cancer. Mm-hmm. And I went through a 4-year downhill slide with her. And again, I was just unable to write during that time. But now I'm back on my feet, having fun with life and producing new stuff and really enjoying the writing process again. But there is that gap in my work.
Yeah. Right. But I think that's also encouraging, though, John. And let me tell you why I say that. I went through a period 2 years ago. I was the primary caregiver for my grandmother, who, you know, unfortunately I lost 2 years ago. And there were things that I enjoyed that I had stopped doing and just recently started to pick back up. But I think it's a testament to others that, you know, even if they had taken, there's been a pause, I'll call it, a pause in what they love to do, that it doesn't mean that it's a stop, you know, that it may just be an opportunity to reassess. You know, have you found that has been one of those unspoken lessons that you've been able to share with people by example, that just because something may have happened in your life, that it doesn't have to stop you from doing what you love?
That's true. And I know there, like I say, I know there are people who can write through major events. But in my case, I took time to reflect. I did a lot of reading during that time. One of the penalties of being a writer often is that you don't get enough reading time. So I had a lot more reading time for a real change during this period. And what I found myself reading more than anything was mystery suspense. Mm-hmm. And so after coming out of this break, that's a vein I want to pursue. A lot of my books, although they were found on the science fiction shelf, always contained significant mystery elements. You know, Deep Quarry has the protagonist as a private eye, for instance. But I've completed a psychological thriller that I'm sure needs at least one more draft. But I see that coming out in the future now.
Yeah. I want to talk about your work for a moment because I think it's interesting. I always, you know, science fiction, and even I think, you know, I tell, this is one of the reasons why I tell people I just love to read, because it has really amazed me. And I'm curious about yourself, John, because I'm sure you have heard the same thing. I have read a book that has been labeled a certain way, and I get into it, and I get these themes like working together, like, you know, good overcoming in spite of challenges, and, you know, the importance of not giving up on oneself. And I think this could really be any kind of of a story, you know, except for the, you know, the extra things that are happening. Have you found that to be true, that people have said to you that they have gotten these amazing life lessons, really, from your books that have been labeled, you know, we'll just say science fiction?
You know, I start each book with an emotional issue that's important to me. One book was started with the idea of taking personal responsibility, you know, not just letting things slide. Another book, in fact, Deep Quarry started with the idea of poking at bigotry. The protagonist is on an alien world where there are three other, besides humans, there are three other alien races, and the protagonist just sees all those folks as people, not aliens.
Right.
I guess most of my comments from readers just center on the story. They enjoy the characters in the story, and in a way, I like that because you know the old cliche, you know, if you want to send a message, use a telegram. You know, I don't want to hit readers too hard with any particular message.
Sure.
But I think as a like a hologram, someone reading most of my work will get what I believe in coming through there, even if there are a few despicable characters along the way.
Well, I think we all know some of those individuals anyway,
right.
Judd, so I think that even adds to the relatability, right, for sure.
Right.
For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome to our program today author John E. Stith. We're talking with him not only about his own journey as a storyteller, but what it's been like for him to share that with the world. You know, it's sometimes hard for us as creatives to embrace our own gifts. Was it easy for you to embrace being a published author and walking in that and letting that be a definition of who you were?
No. For one thing, it took me a fair amount of effort before I got to that point. I think I rewrote my novel, you know, like 9 or 10 or 11 times to get it to a professional condition. And I, you know, you've heard of the imposter syndrome. I felt that pretty strongly for several years after my first book came out. I was publishing a novel roughly every 18 months at the beginning, and it took a while before I really felt like, you know, I deserved the label of author.
Yeah. And now here you are, you know, being able to share your work. We're going to get into, you know, the most recent work that people have been talking about in the moment. But, you know, I think the other thing is that you have not been, just as you have been in this conversation, John, you have not, you know, held back in being able to not only share how you got to where you are, but also, of course, if anyone wants to come after you, you know, what is necessary. I mean, do you find that at your heart are you not only a storyteller, but also someone who likes to teach, who likes to share and allow other people to know that they can do what they want to be able to do in their own lives?
That's true. I've not spent a lot of my time teaching, but I've been in that mode a few times along the way, and I really enjoyed that. I you know, whether you're teaching a young person, you know, how to clean a lawnmower or teaching someone some aspect of writing, I spent a lot of years in software engineering, and so I taught some courses as part of that effort too. So it really is rewarding.
Yeah. And I think that is it. You mentioned something that you actually addressed in this conversation with me today, John, in an article that was on the PortlandBookReview.com. You wrote an article there, One Way to Start a Novel. I found it because I'm following you on Twitter, so we want our audience to make sure they're following John. You can find him at John E. Stith, and Stith is S-T-I-T-H. But one of the things he posted this month was his article, One Way to Start a Novel. One of the things that you talked about, as you mentioned here, John, is that emotional issue that sometimes raises up. I think, you know, again, and that's why I wanted to bring up that about the teaching, because I think people will read an article like that and be able to say, oh, okay, well, you know, maybe all hope is not lost. Also, I bring that up because social media, what an interesting thing that's happened during your break, right? The, you know, the, I mean, the
right.
Internet has become so powerful, and not only sharing information, but making the world so much smaller. What has that been like for you? Because you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter. What has it been like for you to connect with people in real time that way?
It is a huge change. You know, in the old days, I would get letters passed on by my publisher, and nowadays, I will get a Facebook like or a Facebook message or an email, because my email is available on my website, and so there's no there's nothing to slow down that communication, good or bad. But fortunately, it's mostly good.
Well, look,
right now I can't remember anyone bothering to communicate with me to complain, but you certainly see reviews on Amazon and other places ranging from, I can't get this downloaded to my Kindle, to matters of actual substance about a book that they didn't care for.
Right. Isn't that funny? You know, I have, it's such an amazing thing. I feel exactly the same way. I tell people, when used responsibly and respectfully, the internet can be an amazing thing. But unfortunately, not everybody does both of those things, and it lies part of the problem. So, you know, I mentioned in my introduction of you, John, that one thing that has happened, but because of the internet, and this is a good thing, is that people are being reintroduced to your work. What has that part of the experience been like for you to find new readers who are just finding out about Johnny Steele and being able to get a book and to discover the world you've created?
That's been fun, and that's basically just at the beginning stage. Reanimus Press, who has republished titles by Ben Bova and John Gribben and another number of other people, have started reprinting my work, starting with Deep Quarry on the 1st of July, and coming up in a few days, Manhattan Transfer, about the kidnapping of Manhattan, is going to be republished August 1st in ebook and trade paperback. The rest of my work is the rest of my novel length work is going to be republished at roughly 45 day intervals, ending up around June of next year.
Wow. So, what was it? Talk to us about, for those who are just finding out about Deep Quarry, what was it about that book that, you know, because it was interesting when I was prepping for your segment, I saw two types of responses on Facebook. I'll just use Facebook as an example. There was one reader that said, I love that book. That was Deborah. Then I had another comment from someone named Diane says, I'm going to read this book. Isn't that interesting, though? I mean, people who have read it and are able to talk about it, and those who are just learning about it, is that kind of what has been one of the great things about what's happening with this new release?
Right. Yeah, that's true. During the last month, I've had a few interviews and a few more new reviews, and the word seems to be getting out there. It's, you know, as I look at the writers on Amazon now, there's been a huge turnover in the last cluster of books I had out was mid-90s, so we've gone 20 years, and there are a lot of familiar names still out there, but there's also been a lot of change, a lot of self-published writers out there now, and I think that the readership has likely changed a lot too. Science fiction appeals generally more to the young, although that's just a generalization. There are there's a wide age interest in science fiction, but it could well be that there's a whole new group of readers that I can turn on to my work now.
Right, for sure. So we definitely want you all to go to Amazon. Make sure you all put the E in there. John E. Stith is where you all can go. We're going to remind you of that here in just a moment, as well as let you all know how you can find John on his own website. One question I wanted to make sure I asked you, John, because I was curious about this for myself personally, and I think our audience would be curious as well, and it's not something too personal, so I don't mind asking you. Was there any fear involved in reemerging, I'll put it that way, or reintroducing yourself? Because, as you said, the scene of the world has changed. There are so many different ways that people are connecting with readers. There's so many different authors out there, different ways that books are being published. You know, was there any hesitation? Was there any fear for you? Or did you look at it as your characters sometimes look at things, as a new adventure?
New adventure. It things have changed a whole lot. You know, marketing has changed, publishers have changed, agents have changed. It really is a brand new world. But there are a lot of exciting opportunities now. You know, as a couple of things for me, I've just released a couple of my short stories on Amazon and in audio form on Audible. And so that's much easier to do than it used to be. A lot of things are much easier to do than they used to be. A low-budget filmmaker I've been communicating with for probably a decade now says he's finally ready to do a low-budget pilot for the novel Manhattan Transfer to try to get that sold as a series. And he's doing that with the aid of crowdfunding. He's done several, Sky Conway has done Renegades and several other things with crowdfunding. And that, you know, that's a brand new concept too.
Right, for sure. Again, a great thing for us to remember, and also, of course, not to allow fear to stop us. I think that's the thing, to look at everything as a new adventure.
Right.
And that's a great way of being able to say that. John, thank you so much for that. Again, everyone, Johnny Stith has been our guest. We've been talking with him not only about his journey as a storyteller, what it's been like for him to share that with all of you, but also what it's been like for him to connect with his fans and to reintroduce himself as he's doing this year, going into next year, with the re-release of his title. So, John, as we said, you have the new book that's out now as of July, more to come. How can our audience stay connected with you and then keep up with what's coming up next for you?
Well, one easy way is Facebook. I have an author page that anyone can like, and I have my own personal page that basically anyone is welcome to friend me. On my personal page, I do mention writing news, but I also include some of my own other interests, like photographing hummingbirds and photographing some of the skunks and raccoons that are visiting our backyard lately. So if someone wants to see more about those kinds of non-writing things, they're welcome to find me on Facebook. I have a blog on my website, neverend.com, that you know, announces anything I think is worth passing along. So it's and Twitter. I'm also on Google+, and some of the ancillary sites like Pinterest. So it's pretty easy to find me nowadays.
All right, so make sure you all are definitely staying connected with John, and we've already tagged him on Facebook and Twitter to make it easy for you guys to find him there. John, congratulations to you on the re-releases, and definitely, it goes without saying, you're welcome back here anytime. We'd love to stay connected with you.
Thanks very much, Cyrus. This has been fun, and I really appreciate your enthusiasm.
Well, look, the pleasure's definitely on mine. We appreciate the time. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. If you all came in late, you missed part of the conversation with John, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media friends. So head over to Facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to Twitter.com/CyrusWeb. You can click on that link, listen to the show completely for free, and share it with your friends from there. Again, everyone, make sure you all are staying connected with John to keep up with all the new releases, the re-releases that are going on this year. Again, starting with the new book that's out now. So, again, make sure you guys go to this page. You can be able to find out more information about it there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.